Okay, let's talk about the Kaisel HaRavi, one of our favorite topics. We've discussed the Kaisel HaRavi many times. Chazal say, Ein Beis Medrash B'loi Chiddush. The thing is true, you have Ein Sefer B'loi Chiddush. Sometimes you can go to the same material in a different Sefer. You always come across new things, new ideas. The way it's presented in each Sefer, each Mechaber is unique. And that's certainly true with regard to the Kaisel HaRavi. I'm telling you, it comes from a new volume of the set called Avnei Shoyam. Sefer he has already probably at least 10 volumes already. Avnei Shoyam, it's a Likud. It's mainly a Likud, a collection of Yisaydais, Divrei Agada, Divrei Halacha on the Moadim, and different topics. And he very recently, the Mechaber recently released his latest edition. His name is Yeshaya. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I'm not going to try. You're going to have to come and tell me. You have to tell me. Shin Lamed Aleph. Mem Aleph Beis Yud Tzadi. Shlamowitz. Okay, Tovshin Chof He L'Chodesh Nisan Shnas Tovshin Ayin Ches. Hot off the press. We've used his Svarim here in the Shir a lot, and I was so happy when I saw that he published a new volume on the Bein HaMitzorim. And I tell you, it gets better and better. Each volume he puts out, you see how he's grown. You can manage to see from the style, the writing, and from the topics, he, like a lot of Mechabim, that he really has developed, his talent has gone further and further. Okay, so let's discuss here. He has a whole number of chapters on the Kaisel HaRavi. And let's run through, just touch upon the basic yesoides, the basic ideas that he presents. Okay, let's do this first. Shulchan Aruch, basic halacha. There's a halacha when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you're supposed to rise Kriya three times. Three times. Number one, when you see the Orei Yehuda. When you see the Orei Yehuda, and it's not exactly clear what that means, halacha l'mayis, I do not think we do that anymore. We do that today because I don't think we even know what the Orei Yehuda are. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, the first Kriya is when you come to Orei Yehuda. The second Kriya is when you see the Churban of Yerushalayim. And the third Kriya is when you see the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. So again, according to the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tov Kuf Samach Aleph, it says there are three separate Kriyas, ripping of the garment, the rending of the garment that must be according to the Halacha when your person comes to Eretz Yisrael, when he comes in the vicinity of the cities of Shevet Yehuda, and you witness the fact that they are Bichurbanon, they're not built, the houses are dilapidated, that they have been demolished. One is required, according to Halacha, to rise Kriya. When he gets closer to Yerushalayim, and he sees that Yerushalayim is in the state of Churban, you have to rise Kriya a second time. And when you come all the way to the Beis HaMikdash, the Mochim HaMikdash, and you witness that the Beis HaMikdash is Chorav, then you have to rise Kriya a third time. Each one has to be a separate Kriya. It actually cites over here the Halacha L'maisa that you can do it on the same garment, but it should be three Tfachim apart. It should not be in the same. Each Kriya, each rip should be separated in width on the garment by at least three Tfachim. That's a lot. Maybe it's three Etzpois, he says. I don't even remember. I have to go look up again. Three Tfachim. It's impossible. So it means three fingers. So you have to do three kriyas. Halacha l'maisa, we don't do a kriya on the Orei Yehuda, probably because we don't really know what exactly are what they're built. So you can say that about that's a very dangerous thing you just said. You just said a sionistic thing. That's a very dangerous thing to say. To say you don't see chum. Actually, some Tachan want to say that. Some want to say that today it's not Chorav, because today it's under the control, the jurisdiction of Achenu B'nei Yisrael, the Medinas Yisrael, it's under the control of the Medina. So therefore, why should this halacha apply B'zman Hazeh? So all the G'dayla Yisrael reject it out of hand, but what's very interesting is how far they reject it. Rabbi, it's very, he quotes, Mamish quotes Mil B'Mila, and you know, the one that's the most generous, the way he, at least he presents it, is Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein, and his words are, even though Taka B'Zman HaZeh, Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, is in the hands of Achim B'nei Yisrael, and therefore it's not, you can't say 100% that it's Chorav, still there's an obligation to do Kriya, because the Kriya refers to the spiritual dimension. A lot of the other Poskim, they're not so generous. I'm not even going to read you what they write. As you can all imagine, they're not as generous as Rav Moshe Feinstein. It goes to show, it says, speaks volumes. You look at the Poskim who talk about this particular Shiloh and read the words that they write very carefully, you get a very strong flavor of how they relate to Medinas Yisrael. It's very, very interesting. In any event, Halacha L'maisa across the board, we all follow the halacha, and we all rise kriya. Now, halacha we do twice. Halacha L'maisa, one lechatchila should do it twice. Not everyone does it twice. Some do only once. They see b'vas achas. They go to a certain place where you can see in one shot. You see Yerushalayim together with, you can see the Dome of the Rock. You can see the Temple Mount. I think Har Tzofim, there's a certain place where you're able to see the old city for the first time. Your vision is obscured from seeing the old city. If you go up, you enter from a certain way, I don't know all the details, people who travel there can tell you a lot better than I can. There's a certain technique people do where they come to Yerushalayim from a certain angle, and then for the first time they see the old city from a distance, they also see Temple Mount, they see the Dome of the Rock, and therefore they do one kriya. Therefore, since you're seeing Vasachas, they do one kriya on both of these things together. Or Yehuda not? I don't know why not. It seems that we don't really know exactly where Or Yehuda is. Number two, he makes a very interesting point. The very interesting point is, why did Chazal only with a Mesakein to rise kriya when you witness Or Yehuda? What about Ore Binyamin? Okay, we know that Yerushalayim was under the jurisdiction not of only Yehuda and Binyamin. So there's a section that's in the vicinity of the Beis Hamikdash of Bari Binyamin. So why didn't Chazal be Mesakein to rise? What about everyone else? So I guess the Golos Aseres HaShvatim, I guess that was never rebuilt. During the time of the Bayis Sheni, I don't have clarity in this matter. Why don't we focus on the Churban of the Aseres HaShvatim? Why don't we focus on that? It's not clear. But at least if we're going to focus on the Malchus of Yehuda, who did come back to rebuild the Bayis Sheni, and they lived, there was Ari Yehuda, Ari Binyamin, so why not focus on Ari Binyamin? So here he explains, he brings down source to explain it, because the Chazal only Mesakein, because Yehuda is Malchus. Is because Binyamin was not Malchus. They were not the authority of Eretz Yisrael. And when we mourn with Chazal and Mesakin, there's a limit to how much they required us to rise Kriya. When you rise in Kriya over the Churban of the Or Yehuda, in essence, what you've been rising Kriya is the loss of the Malchus in Klal Yisrael. There's no leadership. It's not just a physical destruction. It answers all the kashas. You want to focus on physical destruction, so go the whole Eretz Yisrael. The moment the plane is in the air, you come over Eretz Yisrael. You know, you come in from the Mediterranean, you come, you see land for the first time, right? So right away, you should arise Kriya. Where, what's going on over here? Where are all the people? Where are all the cities? What happened? No, Chazal were not Mesakein to arise Kriya over the physical Churban in the land. They were Mesakein to arise Kriya over the spiritual dimensions of the land that are lacking. Number one is the Malchus of David. Number two is the Kedushas, the Ir HaKodesh. And number three is the Golus HaShechina in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Very powerful idea. Not for the Sefer, I never heard that before. To explain Dafka, the Ori Yehuda, not the Ori Binyamin, and answers all the questions, and also opens up a new appreciation. You're not rising Kriya for physical Churban. You're rising Kriya for the absence of the spiritual essence of the land. And that explains why Bismanas, even though you go to Yerushalayim, I mean, the construction is not to be believed. Kanayin Horus, what's going on in Eretz Yisrael? This beautiful Binyanim, and everything is there, and it's under the authority, the control of Acheinu B'nei Yisrael. Okay, it's under the control of Klal Yisrael. We have autonomy over the land. However, who's going to deny the fact that the Golos, the Shechina, is in Golos? It's Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, but the full dosage of Kedusha is certainly lacking. L'chol HaDeos. And that's what the Kriya is for. And the Mela, when it comes to the Ori Yehuda, the Kriya is for the Malchus of Klal Yisrael. That's lacking. That's lacking. What? Kol Ori Yishama and Yirtz Hashem, which should be rebuilt very soon. Ori Yehuda, very good. Ori Yishama, Ori Yehuda. Uvechutzos Yerushalayim. Very good. Yehuda is the Malchus. Without leadership, we go nowhere. You need a leader. Follow the leader. Follow the leader. If there's no leadership, we have nowhere to go. We just sit home and twiddle our thumbs. So this is the first Yisoid when it comes to the Harabayis, the Harabayis, and the three Kriyos. Why again? Why don't we do the Kriya Nor Yehuda? Malchus? I guess in order to trigger a requirement of Kriya for Malchus, you have to identify a Mokoyim. It's totally everything triggered. All Kedusha is always rooted in the physical world. Bizman Hazet seems that we have a very hard time identifying exactly what is called Ori Yehuda. I don't know, that's what it seems. And why it should be so hard? I'm sure the archaeologists, all of the Chachamim, can tell you exactly where everything was. For some reason, we don't do. You never heard anyone rising Kriya on Shulchan Aruch, three Kriyas. But you never seem to hear anyone doing Kriya for the Ori Yehuda. Two, the Dupi you do. That is brought down in many places. First on Yerushalayim, and then when you see the Har Habayis. That is done by Medaktikim. And the Olam is not so miserable in this either. I don't think the average person does two Kriyas. I think the average person, they come, the Kriyas, they do one Kriya, Vizehu. All right, that's the way we do it.
Rabbi, if you come on Shabbos the first time.
Oh, so we're going to discuss that. You come on Shabbos, then you don't do it. If you come on Shabbos for the very first time. All right, let's discuss that right now. Erev Shabbos. So the Minhag HaOlam is, if you come on Erev Shabbos after Chatzos, you do not have to do Kriya. The Chazon Ish says, I don't know where in the world people got this from. This halacha was created out of thin air. No one, he quotes this over here like 10 times. The Chazon Ish says there's no makar for this leniency not to rise Kriya Erev Shabbos after Chatzos. It's total nonsense. Total nonsense. The Olam has made up a new halacha that does not exist. This is what the Chazon Ish says. However, the Olam does follow that halacha. So it's a big struggle. The answer.
If you're there the second time, you don't do it.
I think you do.
What?
The second time you go back to
Shabbos. No, you're not supposed to, because no, it's a dinner toin agmas nevesh. Once you see, you only have one chance to make a first impression. So if when you come there for the first time on Shabbos Mamish, the holidays, the first time you go to the Kais with Shabbos Mamish, so you have the Agmas Nefesh of there not being a Beis HaMikdash. It's Choraf. You see firsthand the Churban. Ein Edoy Meshmuriyah. I always think about this. I told you the daytime is 9/11, ground zero. Okay, so I saw this a few times to watch on television all the politicians, they come down to ground zero. And every single politician who came down to ground zero on their own, they said, first thing they said was, wow. The devastation, the Churban, seeing it real, cannot be compared to what you see on television. They can show you on television the whole day filmage of Ground Zero, what it looks like, what happened. You see it. You go down there. You go down there to Manhattan and you stand there. Wow, it's a different world. This is not what I saw on television. You see it first.
Few days, yeah. They took Rabbanim, I don't know why, but they meet and greet, and it's still in your head because you saw five stories high piled wrecked cars in one pile.
And they'll show it to you on television, on a camera. You don't get it. You just don't get it. It doesn't seep in.
Just a pile of music pile of wrecks.
Imagine
40, 50 feet high, just cars.
You cannot appreciate the magnitude unless you see it for real. A picture, look, we today live in a modern world. So you can go look, Yerushalayim, there's webcams, 24/7. You can go look at the Kaisa, you can look at Harabayis, you can see everything, you know everything already. No, Rabbi Sai, just because you know about it, Einoi Doime, when you come and you see the real thing. the agmas nefesh you have when you see the real thing, even though you know about it, I heard about it, I saw it, videos, einoy doymes, seeing the real thing. If that time you're in a matzah where you can't do kriya, then there's no purpose of doing kriya the next time. Because kriya, it's clear from the paiskin that kriya is because of agmas nefesh. Agmas nefesh. So what about Erev Shabbos after Chatzos? The Chazmish says there's no such thing. He holds him chuyiv to do kriya Erev Shabbos after Chatzos. The only heter that the modern day paiskin give based upon what the Chazmish's sharp critique and his criticism of this minug that he doesn't understand why people do this is that if you come Erev Shabbos after Chatzos wearing your big day Shabbos, then you don't do kriya. The big day Shabbos, you're not mechuyev to destroy the Kvod Shabbos. The big day Shabbos, what are you going to wear on Shabbos? If you come there wearing a t-shirt, jeans, Erev Shabbos, after Chatzos, then there's no excuse. Yeah. Then what? There's no new tachma.
You don't say tachma because of the kedusha.
The Chazanish didn't say tachma on Erev Shabbos.
He didn't.
After Chatzos, of course not. Of course not. No one says tachma. No one.
In the morning.
In the morning, he did. But not after Chatzos.
But the Chassidim don't say
already. Okay, but the Chassidim who don't say tachna in the morning, they do kriya in the morning, but they don't do kriya in the afternoon. No one does in the afternoon. Oh, but no one says tachna in the afternoon. Hayluchod v'hayluchod. There's a chiv to devise kriya after Chatzos. But if you're wearing your big day Shabbos, Erev Shabbos after Chatzos, that's a different category. Now that means if you're wearing your big day Shabbos during the week on the Tuesday morning, then you have to do kriya. That's not an excuse. But if you're wearing the big day Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, after Chatzos, already that's already, it seems the person can say that's already, you have to think about why is that so, but that's what they said. That's where we today can be make or we can be lenient. Now, the next thing he discussed is the Olam has an obsession of trying finding excuses not to rise kriya. Okay, the common techniques not to rise kriya? You makne your clothing to someone else. Okay, you go to the kohel, you don't want to rise kriya, so you give your clothes. I'm wearing a shirt, I'm wearing a jacket. I want to give it to my friend. It's yours. And l'chatchila, you should make a kinyan. You should shake it, kinyan sudar. Take up a handkerchief, and you give it to him, or he gives it to you. Either way is okay. And by picking it up, you are legally transferring ownership of my clothing. My clothing are now yours. You are the balabayas. And you say to me, I give you no rishus to destroy my clothing. I don't have a right to rise kriya on someone else's clothing. On my clothing, I can rise kriya. But I don't have a right to rise kriya on your clothing. So that is a very common technique. A technique people use in order to get out of rise and kriya. They makne their clothing to someone else. Is it a proper thing to do? Now, let's say a person wants to be machmir. He wants to really rise kriya. What do you have to do? So Mikar Hadin, when it comes to Avelos, Rahman al-Islam, so the jacket for sure. What about a shirt? So the Minig Olam today is to do a shirt. People about an Avelim, or do they do a shirt? I don't remember.
Yeah,
where, what? Everyone does a shirt? Everyone does the shirt? I don't even know what I do a shirt. So Shail is, when you go to the Koisel, do you have to rise kriya on the shirt also? So that's a machloikas apoyskin. The avelus of the Yerushalayim, it's an old avelus. The degree, the severity of rising kriya is not as chomor. Many poyskim say there's no need to rise kriya on a shirt. It's enough to do it on a jacket. Now, what do you do on a jacket? So people have special jackets. What they do is the people who are seasoned travelers, and on a makbe they follow the halacha. You know, there's different types of people. A very strong halacha, they have a special jacket they use for kriya. They go to the kohel, and you don't have to make it. You can take a raise. You can take a jacket.
If you're a traveler, you've done it once. You don't have to.
No.
Every
30
days.
Every 30 days, you have to do it again. If you're not there for 30 days, so they have a jacket, and they rip it. They rip it a little bit more. The same kriya, a little bit more. Make a new kriya, and each time you go, you rip it a little bit more. Yoytze. Immediately after you do kriya, you can take it off. You don't have to walk around the coastal plaza with a ripped garment. You should not. There's no need, even the Gedolei Yisrael, even the Stifler, right. You, after the moment of kriya, immediately remove the garment. Okay? You don't have to keep the garment on you, walk around by the kosel and show everyone you're inside the guy writes kriya. You don't have to wear it. People are taking a bag. They're taking their bag. They take an old sweater and they use this for kriya. They come to, they see the kosel, they write kriya and they take it off. They put it back in their bag. What? On the left side. On the left side. Okay? What? On the left side, and right away you take it off. That's it. Zehu. And then, now, what about this kunz of davka coming down the other time? Some, what about if you come on Rosh Chodesh? The person can say no. There's almost no other time. It's very hard to find the time when you don't have to write kriya. Rosh Chodesh is not an exception. People make a mistake. Rosh Chodesh, it's not an exception. There's no exception. Rosh Chodesh, you have to write kriya. I think one of the few exceptions is Purim. Interesting. Purim is an exception. You don't have to write kriya because Purim. Purim is a Yom Tov. I'm talking about a day of Chol. You go on a Yom Tov, for sure not. Shabbos or Yom Tov, for sure not. Chanukah, no. Chanukah, you have to write Kriya, I believe. Purim is a higher level. Purim, the degree of Simcha is a higher level. An Ovel, I'll give you the proof. Does an Ovel go to Shul on Purim? Yes. Does an Ovel go to Shul on Chanukah? No. What? What do you know reason to? The lanes, why? So lay in the middle of the house. They can lay in the middle of the house also. The same way you have 10, you have a minion. Pirsum, Chanukah, Hallel. It's Hallel. So Pirsum and Issa is also the reciting of Hallel is Pirsum and Issa. Hallel, L'choyer, and Hallel is even greater. The Megillah is a Shvacha Hallel. The Hallel that you say with the Bracha and the real Hallel, we say the whole Hallel on Chanukah. That L'choyer is on a higher level than laying in the Megillah. Megillah is a Megillah, but Megillah is not Hallel. And Pesume Nisa is a very important thing. The way we mafarsim the Nes on Chanukah is in essence greater, even though we think not like that, but in essence it's even greater on Chanukah than it is in Purim. Of course, novelize Chanukah, but an Ovel does not go to the Beis HaKnesses. He observes Avelus on Chanukah, whereas an Ovel does not observe Avelus on Purim. All the Pesachim say there's no Avel, there's no, does not sit Shiv on Purim. There's no Shiva on Purim. There's no observance of Shiva. What? It does not break Shiva. No, it does not break Shiva, but yet it's not observed on Purim. So you see, Purim is a whole different league. Okay, so it's not so simple what you can do to avoid. Okay, the Erev Shabbos after Chatzos wearing Bidei Shabbos, L'chor is a heter. The Oilam is semich upon this. And going on Shabbos and Yom Tov for the first time for sure is a heter. Is for sure a heter. What about going with Tzoy Shabbos for the first time? Okay, I think it's not so simple. Mitzvah Shabbos,
you're still wearing this
big Shabbos. Mitzvah Shabbos to a certain degree has din of Shabbos. It might also be a heter. You go the first time Mitzvah Shabbos. I'm not sure. I have to look it up again and clarify that.
Ladies,
same thing. There's no difference for a woman. There's no difference. A woman has the same obligation that is a child of tznius. There's no question about that. Tznius, that's a very important issue. Person's caught. Let's say it happens sometimes. A person is just caught there. You know, you weren't planning going to the coast. I get off the plane. Your relative comes to pick you up, and he takes you out to eat. And then for somehow you were not planning. No, let's go to the coast. That's it. Go to the coast. Change your plans. And before you blink, here you are. You're at the coast. I don't know. I'm wearing nice clothing. I know I pay plenty of money for this. I'm not going to do ice cream on this clothing. So no. So then the oilam is makel. So you have a kunst. The kunst is you go and you are. You makne your clothing to someone else. So the question is this the proper thing to do? And then he writes even worse, there are people that don't do it.
They don't go to the
Kaisel. Besides that, there are people in Eretz Yisrael, Haredim, who have not gone to the Kaisel in years. It's a fact.
Right.
They're just not interested. They're not, you know, when was the last time I went to the Statue of Liberty? I'm not going to even tell you. And when someone comes to America, a relative, Bikuach Nefesh, they have to go to the Statue of Liberty. Is it even open anymore? Bikuach Nefesh, they have to go. Why do you want to go? I gotta go, Bikuach Nefesh. I haven't gone, I don't want to go. What's the emergency to go? That's the way it is. You live in the land, so you know you take it for granted. You're busy, you don't end up going. All right, but let's discuss. People, unfortunately, they don't do it all together. Okay, this is an unfortunate fact. They go to the kosel. Yeah, I'm supposed to write kriya. So why don't you? I don't know. I just forgot. Is that a proper attitude? We don't find people being meticulous meticulous in this mitzvah, in this, as we are meticulous in other things. What happened to us? So some will clobber us over the head and say it's terrible avera. And here he cites place that says something. He says something very interesting. He says, "Rice in kriya, it's not like a parent. A parent is mamash a chiyuv. And people who go choyze b'shuva, it's not so uncommon that if a person like a bal tshuva who lost a parent never rice kriya for a parent, so they can end up rice in kriya 20 years later." Right, it's not so uncommon when you have Balei Tshuva, they never rise Kriya. So you have to do it no matter what, whether you like it or not, you have to do it at some point in time. Rising Kriya for the Beis HaMikdash, what? No, not a Ger. A Ger, is a Tinek Shinola, the Ger does not rise Kriya. What do you mean Ger, there's no Chiyuv. But going to the Kaisel, there's no Chiyuv to rise Kriya when you go, it's a Minog. And the point is, can understand the minig depends upon your hergish. If you don't have agmas nefesh, then there's no need to rise kriya. Unfortunately, we don't feel the tsar of the chorban. We don't. That's a reality. We don't know what we had. We're not to blame. It's been 1,948 years. We don't really appreciate. We have like media. We have pictures, and we have everyone has a picture of the Kaisel. We don't treat the Kaisel Hamaravi with the kedusha it deserves. Not even close. Not even close. It's a joke. What goes on over there? It's comical. Kamamish comical to stand there by the Kaisel for 10 minutes just watch. I stood there. It's mamish comical to see what's going on over there. So we don't have the seriousness. We don't have the agmas nefesh. So really, it's baltashkes. That's what it says. It's mamish baltashkes. You have more tsar. Most people have more tsar over the garment that they rise kriya on than the tsar over the Beis HaMikdash. That's what it says here.
And we can bring a shirt that we want to do kriya.
Yes, you should. You should. There's no question.
People use that same.
Use the same shirt over and over again. Each time you do it more
and
more.
And different people use that shirt.
Yes, technically yes. You have to give it to them. You have to magnet to them. Yes. The same, yeah. You give a person the shirt off your back and then it's theirs. And yes, they can do kriya. This is what he says, and I think this really says it all. You come there, you have an old shmata shirt, an old shmata sweater, an old shmata jacket. And you have to put in your carry on whatever you're holding on you. The average person has more agmas nefesh doing kriya on an old jacket and agmas nefesh. Why do I have to schlep this with me on this hot day over the whole Yerushalayim? Then he has agmas nefesh over the churban of Yerushalayim. Isn't that a true statement? Okay, no one wants to admit it. Okay, no one wants to admit it, but that's unfortunately the reality. I think it's true.
What they're doing is
you're a very good person. What?
So
therefore, that's not a kriya. That's not a kriya. What are you doing already? You're ripping a garment. If it's a halacha, rachmana litzon on a parent, where you have an obligation, and you'll have to do this even 50 years after a parent dies, if you never did a kriya. I told you, it's very common, Balei Tshuva, when their parents died, they never did it. They never did it. And when they discover this halacha, they have to do it. Even 50 years later, 100 years later, they have to do it. There's no halacha, you have to rise kriya over the Beis HaMikdash. It's a minig of avelos, it's a mesabel. But if you really have more avelos over the garment that you rise in kriya than the Beis HaMikdash on the tirch of carrying and this whole thing, then you know what? You missed the point. You really missed the boat. You missed the boat. Not to say you shouldn't do it. You should do it. But don't criticize someone who doesn't do it. Don't second guess someone else. And if you need to come on to a leniency where you caught, all of a sudden, here I am at the Kaisel and I forgot to bring my special jacket. My kriya jacket, so it's not the end of the world if you'll be makne your clothing to your friend. It's now your clothing, and you don't give me permission to rise kriya. The world won't come to an end if you'll take advantage of a leniency not to rise kriya. But adarabah, a person. It's a very noble thing.
You don't have to live this Kriya jackets for rent.
You can't pass the
rent. That'll be a life's career.
Yeah, but can't you feel
you should!
For what is beyond the code.
Yes, you should. You should. You should. You should. But unfortunately, people today are so distracted. They have so much going on in their heads. They have children they have to marry off. They have to make parnasa. They have to deal with million problems. We live in a very complicated world. There's almost that much a person can handle. And it's not uncommon for a person to say, you know, there's that much I can handle. And when you suddenly it's thrown upon you, you know, you have to do kriya now, and you have to go get a jacket, you got to do this, gotta do that, what are you going to do? You have to handle the whole thing. Therefore, don't second guess someone who doesn't do it, and if a person needs to make use of a leniency, it's okay. It's okay. You can make use occasionally of a leniency, not to lend your clothing, to give your clothing to someone else, or to bedaf come there at a time when you do not need to do kriya. Another interesting topic is a nice discussion here. Is we said there are three kriyas. There's a kriya for the Ari Yehuda, which we don't do. I don't know. We don't do. And there's a kriya for Yerushalayim and a kriya for the Churban Hamikdash. What do you have to see? This is a very big topic of discussion. What exactly do you have to see about the Churban Beis Hamikdash to rise Kriya? So today, the minigol, you see the Dome of the Rock. What more do you need to see? You see the Golden Dome. That's it. That means that there's no Beis Hamikdash.
I think that's sufficient.
That's sufficient.
Just to know in whose hands it is.
Exactly. However, interestingly, some of the briskets, you know, the real one being medactic, you know, that's not sufficient. You have to see the floor of the Azara.
You know where it is.
There are places where you can see it. Yeah, I don't know where to see. You have to know where to see. So therefore, we're not makbid on this. This is a chumrah. No one ever heard of this chumrah. He cites this. He writes all the opinions about this. The interesting thing is that there are places that say, I don't know, all the sources is that, no, the kriya, to do kriya the right way, you have to see the churban. There are three kriyas, but the churban of the mikdash, you have to see the floor of the azar. Okay, let me leave you with one last thing. We'll see with you tomorrow. We'll see tomorrow about one yisoy. This is a new Yisoid to me. Okay, it totally blew my mind, this Yisoid. We maybe have to elaborate upon another time. The Churban Yerushalayim, the Beis Hamikdash, was unique, relative to the Churban of Shiloh. Shiloh stood for 369 years. When Yosef met Binyamin, it's significant. Yosef cried on the shoulder of Binyamin, the neck of Binyamin, because of the Churban of Shiloh. Shiloh today is not, it's not relevant. We don't mourn over Shiloh. But the Beis Hamikdash we mourn over. What's the chilik between Shiloh and Yerushalayim? It's a very interesting yisoid, very powerful yisoid. The difference is one thing. Chazal, lo poska. What's the exact words? Lo zozo shchina from the Koisel Hamaravi. When the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, we have a tradition. Hinei ze oimed achar kosleinu mashkiach menachaleinu ismeitz menacharakim chazal darshin le'oilam le'posko shchina mikoisel hama'aravi. When the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the shchina went to Shemayim, no question about it. But there is a residual degree of Kedusha. There is an element of Kedusha that never departed, that's always there, that hovers over the koisel hama'aravi. When Shiloh was destroyed, no Kiddusha remained. Every last drop of Hashem's Shechina went to Shemayim. When Hashem gave us the Torah in Har Sinai, Hashem came down, gave us the Torah like never before. And the whole Klal Yisrael saw Ayin B'Ayin. When Har Sinai, B'mshoich HaYovel Heimu Yalu V'har, nothing was left. Every Mashahu of Shechina went back to Shemayim. The Beis Hamikdash is the only place in the world where the Shechina came down. Not the first time the Shechina came down to this world. The Shechina came down many places. It's unique that when the Shechina left, it didn't leave entirely. Something remained. the Shechina remains by the Koisel Hamaravi. Now, here's an incredible Chiddush. Now, this also is important. That is why we had to leave Eretz Yisrael. When Hashem destroyed, listen to this fascinating idea, when Hashem destroyed Shiloh, that was a Churban Beis HaMikdash. One big difference, though. Hashem was very angry at Klal Yisrael. Very angry. He destroyed Shiloh. You know how much Kedusha was in Shiloh? We can't even fathom. Shiloh was much much holier than the Beis HaMikdash. Even the Bayis Risha. Much holier. Much holier. The Kedusha in Shiloh was infinite. We can't even masik what was there. But when Shiloh was destroyed, we did not go into exile. Hashem left, and we stayed in Eretz Yisrael. Why is it then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, we had to leave? Why is it a double whammy? Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni, and with the Churban, we also were told to pack our bags and get out. What's the pshat? It's incredible chiddush. When Hashem left Shiloh, He completely left. I'm gone. I'm out of here. You want to stay here? It's your good. Stay here. I don't care. When Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem didn't leave. I'm staying right here. I'm divorcing you. Get out of here. If I'm staying, if I'm going to possess, I'm going to destroy this house, but even though I'm destroying the Beis HaMikdash, I'm not leaving. We cannot be here together. Churban means the Shechina and Klal Yisrael cannot coexist. That's what Churban is. That's what Churban is. We're trying to bring the Shechina back. So in Shiloh, Hashem left. If Hashem left, so Hashem is in Shemayim and we're on here, we can stay in Eretz Yisrael because anyway Hashem is not with us. The Churban Beis HaMikdash, Hashem just destroyed the structure. But Hashem didn't go anywhere. Hinei ze'oy mir'achar kosleinu. So Hashem says, We can't live together. There's machlokes between us. Therefore, if I'm staying, you are going. The reason why they're in this, look at this concept. We always think, oh, like paschashina mekaisim lahara mahakavkasan ravi. It's a beautiful thing, but you know what the consequences of that are? Is that that's a churban for us in a certain sense. Because the Shechina never left the Kesel HaMaravi, that is why we had to leave Eretz Yisrael and go into Golos. Because we cannot be in the same vicinity as the Ribbono Shel Olam after we've done such terrible averos. And therefore we had to go into Golos. Unlike Shiloh where Hashem left and we can stay. So it's an advantage. We can slowly come closer and try to do tshuva, chayzer b'shuva, and come close to the Shechina. But in the meantime, until we apologize to Hashem and make up with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we can't coexist. We have to go into Golos. And going into Golos for us is the real Churban. Because in Golos is assimilation, in Golos is intermarriage, in Golos is all the Goros and Tzaros of Golos. Because the Shechina is in Eretz Yisrael, the Kaisel HaMaravi. That's a Chiddush. It's a very powerful way of looking at the difference between Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash, and why in Shiloh we did not go into Golus, and the Churban Beis HaMikdash we did go into Golus, and what it demands of us. All right, tomorrow we'll continue.